Hello and welcome to another People's Church Church at Home service. A very special welcome to each and every person joining us for the very first time. We are so glad that you could join us and we hope that you enjoy your time with us today. Today is also a very special day. It is Communion Sunday. So if you don't have your emblems ready, which is your bread and the communion juice, this would be a great time for you to pause the service and get those ready. In Psalm chapter 1, it talks about a man who meditates on God's law day and night. And it continues to say this about him in verse 3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. As we listen to God's word today, may we let the word of God work in our lives and work in our hearts so that we may become like that tree that is planted by the streams of water. Enjoy the service.
Good morning, church. I hope that everyone is feeling blessed, that everyone is okay. It is an honor and it is a privilege for me to give you the giving message for today. I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 28. It reads as follows. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." I'm just going to break it down a little bit for you so that you understand. So the phrase "be fruitful" means to be productive. The word "multiply" means to increase in number. "Replenish" means to fill or refill. "Subdue" means to control. And to have dominion over means to have authority over. Above everything, what I took from that scripture is humanity is in control of the entire planet. People of the earth are given the commission to have authority over the creatures of the earth. And we as humans are caretakers of our home planet. The reality is there's so much inequality. There's such an imbalance in the world. And there is so much insensitivity towards so many issues in the world. So imagine, I just want to put it to you like this. Imagine a world where people not only are fruitful in their families, but are fruitful in other families too. For example, taking in orphans or children in child-headed families, feeding them, mentoring them, making sure that they are educated. I'd also like to put it to you this way, that imagine a world of CEOs of large manufacturing companies who care about the planet, who care about things like the ozone layers, things that we don't usually talk about, who care so much of their contribution and how much it has an impact on the earth or the planet. So today, as we give family, think of your position. Think of where God has placed you and think of what you can do to be fruitful. You can do to multiply, to replenish in the world. And I just want you to ask yourself this question. Are you subduing the right way? So church, let us just bow our heads down to just pray. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you, O Lord Jesus, for everything that you have given to us, O Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have given us a world, O Lord, that we have dominion over. A world, O Lord, that we can take care of, O Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you have given us and that we are able to give, O Lord. Father God, we ask that you open our hearts to giving, O Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, as we are giving, O Lord, help us to know, O God, that we are giving for the right reasons, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you help us, O Lord, to be fruitful in the right way, to multiply in the right way, O God, and to replenish in the right way, O Lord Jesus. Father God, we just want to thank you. We just want to honor you this morning for being a good, good Father to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Good morning, brethren. Welcome to our Sunday morning service. which happens to be the first Sunday in the month. It's our custom in the People's Church. As we meet in the first Sunday of the month, we break bread and have communion. So I'm going to take you through our message for today for the communion. And I'll read from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 51 to 58. I'll start reading from John 6, verses 51. I am the bread of life. I am the living bread which cometh from the heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye shall have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. I will read this again. John 6:55. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which cometh down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. We are reminded that the blood of Jesus is drink and his body is meat indeed. And we have to eat as often as we meet in remembrance of what he did. When he was about to be crucified, he took time to break bread and drink wine with his disciples. He focused on our salvation as opposed to his death. Let's be comforted by what Jesus did. And as we eat, let's see Jesus. As we drink, let's see Jesus. Let's be reminded that by his stripes we were healed, and by the shedding of his blood, our sins are washed away. Shall we pray? Father God Almighty, as we meet during this difficult time, let's be reminded that the work of salvation is completed. You are actually seated. You are not amazed by what is happening or surprised by what is happening. And let your church, as it goes through this difficult time, let it be focused on you, and let it listen to you and have that spiritual ear to hear what you want the church to do, as opposed to be surprised or worried by what is happening around, because we have a message for your church during this difficult time. We thank you. We give you all the honor, all the glory. Amen.
You know, people are very religious, or trying to be religious or belong to a religion. And it has been said that religion is man's search for God. But Christianity is God searching for us. When you read the Bible, you'll be very aware that God is the one who chooses his people and is the one who calls them. And the Bible says in the book of John chapter 15 verse 16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. So this is Christ speaking here. He says to his disciples, you did not choose me, but I chose you. And the reason why Christ has to choose us and we cannot choose him is because what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 3, it says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins. So dead people cannot choose. He says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to walk when you conformed to the ways of this world and of the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And he says, Paul, to the believers, that all of us also lived among them at one time, fulfilling the cravings of our flesh and indulging its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature children of wrath. And in John 16, verse 44, Christ continues to say, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. So unless the Father draws us to Christ, there's no way in which we can actually come to him or come to know him. And the Bible says in the first book of Peter 2, from verse 1 to 9, now that we have been chosen by God, he says, so get rid of all evil behavior, be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. He says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. And something which is very interesting is when somebody finds Christ and Christ has actually found him, it's this craving that we start having of the spiritual milk. And the Bible actually talks about this spiritual milk, which is the word of God, as unadulterated milk. So one of the things that we are going to start doing is to cry for this milk of the word. And he says, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scripture says, I'm placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. And verse 7 says, yes, you who trust in him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we can see here that the Bible says we are God's own possession, and that he is the one who has taken us, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now we are in the light. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 5, it says, just as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him. And I want you to see that he did not just wake up one morning, as we say, and decided, now I'm going to call them. It was done before the foundations of the earth. It says, in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will. So we are chosen by God, but the Bible also teaches us that we are called by God. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9, he has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And you see this whole issue coming again about God's own purpose and design. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, 15 to 16, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.'" And also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." So God has called us into fellowship with Jesus Christ. It says also in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps." And one of the mysteries of the gospel is that part of the calling that we are called by is also to suffer as Christ has suffered. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Jesus." And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul here in the beginning, he talks to the believers about the second coming of Christ and our being caught together with him. And then he says to them in this particular portion of the scripture, he says, "But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth." He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand and hold fast to the teachings we pass on to you, whether by word or by mouth or by letter. And then it goes back to what we were reading earlier, that we must crave for the spiritual milk of the word. And Paul says here it's important that we must stand firm on the teachings of the word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, he says, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult." He says, "On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." So we've been called to be a blessing and to bless and not to curse or to repay evil with evil, because we are called, because we are chosen, and that is actually possible. Before, it could not be possible. In Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we walk in them." In Romans 8, 28, it says, "We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according." And again, we can see that we are called according to God's purpose. And when we have been called, we are also called upon to live a life worthy of the calling. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3 to 11, this is what Peter says. He says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." So he called us by his own glory and excellence. Through this, he has given us his precious and magnificent promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, now that you have escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. He goes on to say, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities and continue to grow in them, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9 says, "But whoever lacks these traits is nearsighted to the point of blindness, having forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Verse 11 says, "And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, and Paul writes this letter while he was in prison for the sake of the gospel. And he says, as a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Finally, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 18, this is John the Baptist during the time when he was baptizing people. So some people came to him to be baptized. And you know, sometimes you have this problem where people are baptized and like somebody said, you know, you go into the water a sinner and then you come out just a wet sinner. But in this case, John was saying to them, you cannot afford to do that. That baptism just becomes just one other activity. He said to them, prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. And in the New International Version, it says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And in the Good News Translation, it says, do those things that will show that you have turned from your sins. And you know, if you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks to the Corinthians and he talks about the children of Israel when they moved from Egypt to Canaan. And he says not all of them actually entered because of the hardness of their heart. So although God was with them, but they chose to be disobedient. And he says, we are not that kind which are destroyed, but we go on to be saved because we are obedient. So God chooses us. God calls us. We cannot choose ourselves. We cannot call ourselves. And when God has called us, it will show that he has called us, that he has chosen us through the way we will live our lives. So I just want to pray. If God has spoken to you, you know that you have not been called or chosen, but you hear that God chooses you, God is calling you, I just want to pray with you so that you accept this calling of God in your life. And if you've accepted the calling of God, that we live according to that calling, let's pray together. Father, we thank you that you are the one who calls us. You calls us into your kingdom. You choose us. And the way your word says, you are the one who will be able to keep us from falling and present us pure before Christ. In your name we thank you. Amen.
We have come to the end of today's service. Thank you for joining us once again. Please do take some time to meditate and to respond on the message you just heard. We would love to hear from you, and you can get in touch with us through our social media platforms as well as sending us messages via our WhatsApp number that's going to appear on the screen. Remember, we continue to give towards the people that are in need during this season. And you can still give by doing an EFT or a direct bank deposit to the church's bank account and referencing it COVID Relief. Be blessed and enjoy the rest of the week.